On today's Restomp podcast, we'll wrap up the trip to Adelaide. Unfortunately, we leave with zero premiership points, but a bag full of confidence. Not sure what confidence is worth. I think Ross Lyon told us it's not worth much. You can't go to the confidence shop and buy it. Confidence is just a feeling. But lucky he's not coaching anymore, because we're chock full of confidence and we're coming back to Perth. Anyway, we'll get the Chief on board to have a chat about the game right after we start wearing purple with Gogo Bodelli.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restomp podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonnell, joined by a man who did not enjoy that game one little bit on the weekend. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo.
Hey, rubbishing the game for as long as you could before we pushed record just then.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with that, but now I've got to.
So. Yeah. You've got to stand by it, surely.
It wasn't a pretty game, wasn't it? It was a scrappy, you know, there wasn't a lot of free-flowing footy. But I enjoyed it, but not to the extent that I was thought I might.
That's how we locked them up, though, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to get a 10-goal game and have free-flowing footy.
Hmm. Yeah, what's your point?
What do you want? You want us to get 120 points and win?
Yep. They couldn't do it against us, but they can do it.
No. Yeah. So, it's like, yeah. Maybe you need to change colours.
Tell you what. I'm over it, Jojo. Gather around the extended stay in South Australia. That's got knobs on it. We're not doing that next year. Have it somewhere else. It's we got to go. In a couple of weeks'
time. Didn't they just lock it in for like the next 30 years or something?
Yeah. Do you know, in a few weeks' time, we're going to go to Alice Springs. That's going to be better than being in Adelaide. And Alice Springs is lawlessness at the moment. And it's going to be better than spending time in Adelaide. Yeah. Any more time in Adelaide, we would have been putting ourselves in the barrels. You know, the bodies in the barrels?
Is that the poor taste thing you were talking about?
No, it's in good humour. Good humour.
Oh, it's in good humour, sorry. Yeah.
You know that guy gets out of jail, mate?
Really? I listened to the podcast on that. I could have stopped listening to it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, wasn't it?
It is a fine line between good humour and poor taste, though, isn't it?
It actually is. But that guy, Ray Hayden, he gets out of jail in May.
How's he getting out of jail?
Yeah, and then he's going to find himself in Adelaide.
Fuck.
Not good.
I don't quite understand how he did. I actually really enjoyed watching that game.
Did you?
I thought it was really competitive. I thought.
Yeah, it was that.
You know, except for what period of the game? Was it the third quarter where everyone kind of, like, it looked like everyone dropped off, both teams?
Yeah, it did.
And there was just like a bunch of mistakes from both sides, and then it ramped back up again.
That third quarter, they were all over us, though, for three quarters of that quarter. Like, I think they had 13 of the first 16 inside 50s.
Yeah.
How good was our defence to stand up to that?
Yeah, we were really good, but I just think, like, I don't think they were playing especially well. I think we were just playing a worse version of Paul than them during the third quarter, because if they were playing well, they would have punished us a little bit heavier, I would have thought.
Oh, definitely. Oh. I mean, in that third quarter, like, they kicked one goal, 2 points, one out of bounds on the full from 13 inside 50s. Then Tommy Emmett kicked a goal and Tabs kicked the goal, gave us a 10-point lead. So
didn't Tabs play well?
Well, what's happened to him? He's never been this poor.
He must be. He must not be physically able to do it.
He can't, can he? He can't. Oh, there was a picture. I meant to screenshot it, and I can't remember what quarter it was in. We were going to the right of screen, and Tracy had a shot. It was not having a shot. Was kicking it in from about 60 meters, and Tabs is standing there at the top of the goal script, pointing to the pocket to kick it there.
That's trademark, Tabs.
That's trademark. I'm like, what is going on here? I think he might be right, though.
That's the thing he's done lately, though. He doesn't move. He just points.
Points. He either was pointing to the pocket or to the top of Radaglia's head, and that was working out well. What is it? But I think you're right. He mustn't be able to physically do it anymore. Because he's not that bad. He is not that bad.
Well, the one thing we needed, I thought, and in a macro sense of the game, was movement up forward. And he was one that he's done it ever since he came back into the team, is he just wants to stand the guy kicking it forward to him, just plonk it on his head and let him wrestle the guy or try and nudge him out of the way. It's not, I don't realize, he's been in the AFL for a long time. And like, rookie list or no rookie list, whatever, you got to know what your goal is, and that's not his goal.
No.
And it never has been.
It never has been. And it's even further now that he can't, you know, hold his position in a contest. He was getting pushed out of the road very easily.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, almost as easily as Charlie Dixon down the other end. I was going to say, do you reckon a little bit of with Tabs as well? He knows, well, he would have thought this week he wouldn't have been playing up until the point where they ruled Darcy out. And then, and not that, I mean, he's still human, right? Like, not that you want your players going in with this mentality, but he knows that, like, he's got a limited life. Like, he could have played the game of his life on the weekend. He's still probably getting dropped this week if Darcy comes back.
Yep. Yep, definitely. It has to, as you said, we're all human. That's got to be in the back of your mind. So, and he must know, he must have the feeling that, I don't know when he's contracted, is it the end of
this is it.
So if that probably only compounds the issue, because he's probably thinking, I'm at peel for the rest of, unless there's another injury or three injuries. So that's probably compounding the issue and making him think, oh, I'm going back to peel regardless. You know, this is the end of my career. What can, you know, I'm not going to save it by playing a good game. So you're probably right.
No. Yeah. Anyway, not the end of the world.
Do you think hindsight, just, I was thinking about this today. You know, again, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But do you think we gave Darcy the extra week, and I reckon that had to be purely precautionary. I think he could have been right to go. But do you think we should have gone in with Liam Reedy?
I was advocating for this last year, not disrupting the structure and playing the second ruck.
Yep. And then it would have allowed Jackson to go up forward a bit more, you know?
Yeah, well,
because, we lost the ruck tabs. We lost the ruck anyway.
Yeah, but Jackson cleaned him up on the ground around the ground.
Yeah, but the mids were as, you know, the mids were as capable as Port's mids. So it could have been a punt worth taking, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well, especially given the form that Tab's been in over the time he's been back in the team. And I don't think, when you're looking for a bit of movement up forward, you're looking for a bit of connectivity and cohesiveness within that forward 50 to work together with the forwards, creating space and creating leading lanes. I don't think he's added much to that. So, I don't know. It's a big game. I suppose you want your experienced players who aren't going to get overawed by it involved. And you know, he's been around a while. It's a tough call.
It is, isn't it? It is.
But I'm with you, though. Going forward, I think you definitely want, if Darcy misses time again.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd do it. You wouldn't do it with Jack. You wouldn't do it with Jackson missing time. He wouldn't play two flat out rucks. But I think if Darcy misses time again, I think I'd definitely give Reedy a crack and see how it looks.
Jackson misses, we run with who do we run with? Sturdy or who's the guy we brought in? Gave a second chance to? Forgot his name.
Oh, Voss.
Well, Vossy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Jackson misses, we got it. Because you can't. It's just not going to. It just doesn't work now, does it?
Yeah.
With Tabs.
No.
You know?
No.
Poor bugger.
So we lose by 3 points. We lost the week before, obviously, to Carlton in, you know, disappointing circumstances. We can talk about the game in more detail in a minute, but we've played two teams that a real good shot at finishing top four.
Yep.
And we've gone down, I know Carlton's margin, what was it, 10 points in the end, 9 points, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then under a kick to Port, away from home. I'm not sure if you're one of these people. I think I'm one of these people where sometimes you can take more out of a loss than a win. If we're as good as we looked against these teams and our form's going to continue to stack up over the course of the season, then like maybe a loss isn't that bad, because at least you know what you didn't do to win and what you have to do to win, and there's fire in the belly and hunger to get the job done next time.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
You'd always rather win, of course, but I mean, there's positivities and there's upshots out of not getting the chocolates, but getting very close and making mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, massive upside, a massive confidence to take out of, you know, what was a, you know, demoralising 2 weeks in some sense. But I think there's not too big of a, there's probably not going to be too big of a challenge than what we've faced the last 2 weeks. You know, okay, GWS, you can call them that, yeah, whatever you want. But
I think the orange team, I like to call them.
Orange team?
Oh, my God.
West Coast number one caller. I think they've been screwed, haven't they? Jeez. I hate to see it. You think that – I do. I think that in probably say, I don't know, 75%, 85%, we match up to nearly to any side. If we could just start to put it on the board, some score on the board, we're pretty much as good as anyone. I mean, we've done it to those two good sides, as you said. They're going to be top four, top six, whatever. You know, I really think in our current form, this is going to sound ridiculous, which most stuff I say is, but whoever makes the grand final, I reckon they would hate to be playing us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because we'll drag them down into that type of game and they're a better chance to beat someone else than they are to beat us. So,
we're playing like a finals brand of football in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, not scoring doesn't win you premierships.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I'm with you about the confidence. We get confidence where, you know, it's just the shame we couldn't lock in at least one of those wins because your season's well and truly, you know, you almost put to bed, you're going to miss the eight. You win one of those.
Which hypothetically speaking, if you had have laid a bet at the start of the season that the Freo Dockers were going to make the eight, you'd probably be pretty pleased with. But unfortunately.
Yeah. Now I'm back on nice edge again.
No, hypothetically.
Hypothetically, yes. Yeah, we don't deal in hypotheticals.
But just speaking on the scoring, I think we mentioned this before. I know I've thought it if I haven't said it, but the scoring difficulties feel different to what they have in previous seasons. I think in previous seasons, we just haven't got good opportunities.
Yep.
But you think back to the game on the weekend, we had so many good opportunities to score.
Yep.
And either missed them or spurned them or passed when we should have shot, which has been a problem 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
They're very fixable kind of areas of our game and areas where we could, I think realistically, add 2 to 3 goals to our scoreline if we'd made correct decisions or executed our skills well enough in half the situations we were in.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just, the problem I've got is we're, what, 6 weeks, 5 weeks in? It's been our Achilles heel from then. How come we haven't fixed it yet then?
Oh, it's a work in progress.
Well, how long's progress? There's only another, what, 15 games, 16 games to go or something, Jojo.
Oh, that's plenty of time. That's plenty of time.
Let's get it done then. If that's the problem, let's fix it.
One man who didn't have any trouble converting was Josh Tracy. I think that's pretty clearly his best game for the club. He had sticky mitts on Saturday. Mm. He took some absolute clunks. And his pressure, his... Again, like he's shown us in previous seasons he's got it, but his agility playing up the field in an open play and then his field kicking.
Yep.
Like he's as good a field kick as anyone on our team. He laces them out when he lines them up. Yeah.
We said that last week. Best field kick we've got. He's unbelievable. He went at 100% efficiency and had, I forget how many touches. We had 15, 16 touches. I'm with you. I actually thought he was going to get us home when he was clunking those marks in the last quarter, you know, when they were kicking out from down the wing. I thought he's going to get us home. He took 9 marks, Jojo.
What did he kick, like three goals in 5 minutes or something like that?
How's your send Tracy to defence campaign going?
Well, the defence is holding up pretty well. We can talk about them in a minute. They don't require him, so thank God we can leave him up forward.
No, he was awesome. You're right. When he the pressure that he puts on, and I think it was Jager O'Meara didn't kick the goal, but Tracy ran 100 meters to put pressure on to Radicalia and Alia. to spill that ball, and then Jago O'Meara got the holding the ball free kick. But it was Tracy's work to get it there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He does everything.
Yeah. And I think for him, like maybe the – I'm sure the Penny's he's always been aware of it, but his opportunities to do stuff on the offensive side of the ball, I feel are directly related to him doing the nuts and bolts stuff and the hard yards and the tackling and the chasing and the body work off the ball. And he seemed to have a real fire in the belly and a real, like, I don't even know, like the marks. For him to finish them like he did on Saturday, he's obviously got it in him. So the focus must have been there. There's something that happened on Saturday night that triggered himself to be so focused. He did everything just stuck for him. So,
didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome to see.
But don't call him Majacek.
Don't call him Majacek. Well, to be fair, like it was pretty close to like, – it was a better than a Majacek game, I thought.
It actually was.
It was so well-rounded. He pinched it in the ruck and did a fantastic job in the ruck against old mate, what's his name?
Ollie Wines.
Soldo. Yeah, Ollie Wines. Yeah.
Ollie Wines was rucking.
Yeah, I know. They were battling there for a while, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, his game was just awesome. Like he'd be one that, you know, you didn't win the 4 points, but he'd be holding his head pretty high, I would have thought, all the way to the airport and through the arrival gates to get home because, we didn't lose because of him.
No, that's for sure. We would have got beaten by Space if it wasn't for him.
Well, two other guys, I reckon, were in that same boat, Alex Pearce and Luke Ryan.
Oh.
Alex Pearce actually absolutely took Charlie Dixon, even though the commentator – I don't know if it got on your nerves, and I'm sure it did because the littlest things get on your nerves. Yeah. But them talking up Charlie Dixon at any chance, if he's like some world-beating superstar, it's like maybe I missed something here. I mean, like he's got a lot of tats and he looks angry and whatever, but like he's good, but – I don't know if he deserves all that kind of hyperbole. And as soon as we shut him down, those first – Piercy was all over him from the very, very beginning.
Yep.
Like maybe we'll just tone it back a little bit until he actually does something.
Yeah. Yeah, they were – it was like they were barracking for him to do something. It was
– Pierce had like 10 – he had 10 touches at quarter time or something.
Yeah.
He was all over him.
Slaughtered him completely. And to Charlie Dixon's credit, I don't know if you watched his interview – after the game.
I did, but why is he being interviewed? He had a stinker.
Yeah, but he's on the winning team. And he's a...
he took one mark and took
it. You know what? Yeah, that's right. But he did say, I got dominated. He said, Pierce, you killed me. You dominated me all night. But, you know, this is why I feel sorry for defenders. Because they can win 99 out of 100 contests and your opponent can win the game. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah, that's what it is, though.
I know. It's just cruel. But... But, yeah, I did like his interview and stuff. Yeah, he's all right. Stop getting on his case. He's all right.
Oh, I can't stand everyone just talking these guys up. Like, if you're playing well, sure, but does it need to be so much theatre around it? It's a game of footy.
Of course it does.
Not a drama.
Yeah. I think Alex Pearce, he's visiting a tailor when he gets back. He's getting the early fitting for a jacket. He's in.
Yeah, he might as well.
Yeah. 20 disposals. I went back, I thought, that's got to be career high. It's his second highest. He had 22 back in 2018 or whenever. But 12 of them contested. He got 10 ground ball gets. That was equal with Ollie Wines and I think only second on the ground to Caleb Sarong.
So, in his first season back where he was kind of fully fit, you're waiting for him to, you know, to reach over, grab that ground ball, maybe trip over an ankle, roll it, something like that. He was smooth when he was coming out of defence on the weekend.
Wasn't he?
Picking up those balls and actually getting through traffic and then getting the hand pass off in a forward and an attacking manner and setting us up.
Yep.
I mean, it shows that, you know, he must be – it takes a while, especially for the bigger guys. You miss a lot of footy. You got to trust your body, trust what you can do. He's finally getting his feet under him and remembering who he is and what he can do. And we're seeing the Alex Pearce that we remember in terms of that all-Australian caliber fullback.
Yes.
Because and everyone else who hasn't watched much Freo footy this year, I think a lot of people would have watched that game on Saturday night and come to realise
how good
what an awesome season he's having so far. Yeah. It's just not talk coming out of
I've got to put my hand up. I'm ashamed that we even questioned him last year. I know you can question them when they play ordinary games and they do things that they shouldn't, but it didn't give him enough time, JoJo, to really...
No, I don't think so. I think he was poor at times last year.
He was, but he still wasn't 100% in his body last year.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. But you call it as you see it. I mean, as a fan, you only know what you know. And if they're on the field, then you assume they're fit.
Assume they're fit. That's true. You're out there, you're 100%.
So, the other guy was Luke Ryan, who was like a brick wall at times. And Port Adelaide fans must have absolutely walked out of that ground and bemoaned his existence because every time they kicked it, it just seemed to fall in his lap. And I remember one time he was like fifth or sixth in the pack, stayed on the ground, and then somehow he just was strolling back with the mark to take the intercept. Somehow everyone else had misjudged it and he was just standing there.
He just has this knack for getting himself in the exact right position when there's chaos going on around him. He leaves his man at the right time. He covers his man at the right time. It's like a sixth sense. I think we said that in the pod last week. You know, 11 marks he took. 11 marks in the 645 meters gain. Did not win the Meatcatcher Property Boutique meters gain comp, Jodo. Didn't win that, but would have done if we ran on the last quarter. 338 meters in the last quarter.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Crazy.
And I think a bit of credit deserves to be given to him in terms of when we weren't playing so well and the midfield was getting not beaten badly or whatever, because I don't think they were really beaten badly at any point.
Yeah.
But Port maybe got some ascendancy. He really bailed us out quite a few times where there could have been scores where they ended up being no score.
Massive. Numerous times. It was just repeat entry after repeat entry in that third quarter.
Yeah, and the ball just lived down that end. Like,
they're under
enormous stress.
Oh, I couldn't believe they held up. I mean, we know how good they are, but to hold up under that pressure of a team like Port Adelaide, gee, that's what. I mean, you don't want to rely on that every single week, but to know that when you fall into a trap where you're under enormous pressure, to know that your back line can do that with a back line with a Josh Draper, by the way. To know that they can do that as a collective, that's part of the confidence you take going forward, doesn't it?
Absolutely, the midfield was the area of the ground we were kind of thinking, well, it's always the area of the ground, the game's won and lost, but I mean, it's where the big battles were going to be had with Butters, Rosie, Horn Francis up against our mob. You'd have to say we kind of took the points, and I know people focused on the last couple of centre clearances that we lost and they scored from, but I thought all in all, our guys acquitted themselves exceptionally well against albeit a young but very, very talented midfield from Port Adelaide.
Yeah, they're probably not that much younger than us, if they are, you know. But
I mean, we got Fife in there. Who have they got? Willem Drew and
Ollie Wines. Ollie Wines, a Brownlow medalist.
Yeah, no, but he's not really that. I don't know. He's a bit like
Oh, you're saying he's a Roy Woden Brownlow medalist?
I was just about no. I'm not as a Brownlow. He just reminds me of Roy Woden now after the Brownlow medal. It's weird. He won the Brownlow medal, then he had like a couple of dog seasons, and then he had a good season, and now he's been kind of overshadowed by all the up and comers. So I don't know where he is.
He had to get a heart transplant. His heart did packed he? It up. Remember?
He did not.
He did. Not a transplant, but he had heart problems. Remember?
Didn't know that.
No, he did. He did last year. Well, the year before. Well,
there you go. Maybe that explains it.
Yeah.
But how did you see the midfield battle? Because, you know, in terms of clearances around the ground, we kind of had the better of it. Centre clearance, we definitely did. I thought we did really well.
Yeah, I did too. And I don't know whether you can say we got the better of them. I think they got the better of us in its entirety. Because when you take into account, you know, it's what we were mentioning. We brought up the point about goals from midfield. I think, you know, that Butters, not Butters, Horn Francis got one. Oh, Butters got one. Their wingman got one.
I mean, Horn Francis scored his as a forward, though.
It doesn't matter. I mean, our forwards.
You're right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Can't go forward and kick goals. That matters. And we brought this up, Jodo, in the pre-pod about needing alternatives, you know, scoring options, goals from midfielders. They're gold. So I looked at it and I thought, we got one from Brayshaw. They got one from Horn Francis, Butters and Bergman. But I went through, I thought, am I seeing things or is that an issue? So when they look at the results over the weekend, all the winners It stands out. All the winners except the Gold Coast had at least three goals from their midfielders. Gold Coast had two. Rowe and Anderson got one. GWS beat Saints by a point. Saints got three. So they virtually almost won the game anyway. Melbourne got zero. They lost. The Dogs got zero. They didn't have any goal kickers from their mids. Hawthorn zero.
I think all their mids got subbed off at half time. So it's going to be difficult for them to kick a goal, isn't it?
Who? Which midfield?
Oh, all the Bulldogs midfielders. I think Beveridge subbed them off. Tried to do something. Tried a new ingenious coaching move.
They did too. But the point is, it's a stat. It looks like it's
it is. No, you're right.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, they all lost. The ones that didn't get three goals, at least three. So somehow we've got to find a way for, I mean, Brayshaw hits the scoreboard sporadically. Sarong rarely hits it. You know, Hayden Young's the one. We've got to get the ball in his hands and, you know, running through 50. He's the one that we've got to. So.
His receives is just a touch deep at the moment. I mean, he almost got, I think he got one. It was probably 80 metres out on the weekend.
Yep.
But, it is tough. I think especially with our forward line and the fact that it's not functioning properly at the moment, it becomes more important to find goals from other sources.
Yes. Yep.
Because the forwards can't kick them at the moment.
No.
So, it is really important for us and something that hopefully we'll get a few this weekend with some free open flowing footy that you'd love to see against West Coast. But
witches hats. Are they witches hats? They're still witches hats, aren't they?
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Luke Jackson, as I said earlier, like he was really good around the ground. I think again, he'll be looking forward to Das coming back. He against Soldo in the ruck, he lost a lot of the taps. Like Soldo was getting first hand. Not that that's the be all and end all, but I don't know that. I reckon he'd much rather get in. You'd much rather have him in there. You saw him monster Dixon when he went in there. Imagine jumping on Ollie Wine's shoulders. Yeah. Like, that's what his goal is. Get in there for 5 minutes, rip the game apart.
Hmm.
I think that's where his most value is in the ruck. And I know he's played really, really well to start the season. And we've probably got, or we definitely have the best first ruck replacement out of any club in the comp. But I think we'll see a rejuvenated and an energetic Luke Jackson when he can return to his kind of hybrid role of second ruck,
play forward,
tall forward,
around the ground,
up, yep. Whatever he's doing. This week.
The ruck taps, they're becoming more and more irrelevant each week. It's all about what you can do once that ball hits the ground.
You know? I reckon that's true. It is true, but you'd much rather have a good ruckman than a bad ruckman.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some.
I mean, when it comes off and you know the hitman's hit and the path cleared and you get a nice clearance coming out the front of the contact the stoppage, like you more often than not score from it.
Yeah, probably. But I think it's more important to have your ruckman like a fourth or fifth midfielder. You know.
Yeah. The couple of our midfielders who kind of struggled to get their hands on the footy were Brayshaw and Fife on the night. I think they had about 18 or 17 touches each, something like that. Uncharacteristic of Brayshaw, especially after a big game last week.
Do you know what? But everybody was off.
Yeah.
Everybody's numbers were off. It was that type of game. But I'm with you.
Sarong only had 29.
Yeah, except him. He never. But, I mean, I don't think Brayshaw is any less impactful. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, that crucial goal, that's sort of his trademark now. He does something, you know, massively impactful at a pivotal moment. And to me, that's sort of that lead from the front captaincy stuff, Jodo.
Yeah.
Just 18 touches, made them count, 6 clearances, 6 tackles. He was still pretty good.
Something we spoke about, either it was in the post game from last week, just our runners in, especially Jordan Clark and our new winger, Sharpie.
Yep.
The closed down and tight game didn't really allow us to find them and give them space to move. And that we didn't really get to move the ball through them, which, you know, I think in a close game like that, that maybe that's something we can also work on is when we do have the opportunity to run to find these guys and get them going, because that's what actually seemed to trigger a bit more movement from everyone else in the team. And I think even at halftime, that's what JL was saying about the forwards, was there's no movement. There was no run. Everyone was stagnant.
Yeah.
So I think there were, we maybe fooled ourselves a little bit into this kind of kick mark and slow play where the forwards were just like, oh, we'll get into that as well.
Yeah, okay.
But it was definitely missed, I thought, just as seeing that dash and the run and link up.
Yeah, I think to be fair, we've got to pay Port a bit of credit too. They're pretty good at covering.
No, I don't think so. Let's not pay them any credit.
It's not West Coast. they were pretty good. Like, they covered up Jeremy Sharp pretty well. He still found it 19 times, whatever he did. But
yeah, he wasn't bad. Yeah. I just mean, like, we didn't. You saw a couple of times he had a bounce the here or there and whatever, but it wasn't that devastating game he had the week before. And you're not going to do that every week, but you see what a difference it makes to us as a team when he does play that way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The other one I thought is reaching a little bit of trouble territory is Jago Amira. I mean, he came in and played that forward role, which is a tough gig to play at. Mm. It's not his number one, or not his one wood, if you want to put it in that sense.
Yeah.
How do you see his future and what he's doing? I mean, he doesn't specifically fit that role, and you'd think that, I don't know, he didn't do it particularly well to the point where you'd think, oh, okay, we'll stick with him next week if other people are available. We've got Erasmus getting limited game time.
Mm.
Matt Johnson's not himself this year, seemingly not really fitting in on that wing.
Yeah.
We've got an interesting little decision coming up, I think, with those three, because there seems to be limited midfield minutes available, and not sure how suitable to the wing either Johnson or Erasmus are at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a little headache, isn't it, how we sort this out. But having said that, I was a bit surprised that we subbed Jager out instead of Johnson, because I was just sort of thinking, in a game that was that close, you kind of probably want as much experience on the ground as you can get. And I just sort of thought, Jager's a quality player, or has been, whether he's still got it, who knows. I just don't know whether, like, we were getting nothing out of Matty Johnson. And whether that's through, not necessarily through all the fault of his own, but I just would have left Jager out there. I'm not sure, Jager. I'm just not sure which way to go. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision going forward. But did you think, what about the sub? What, were you okay with it?
To be honest, I was kind of fine with it. I don't really like the sub at all, to be honest.
No, I don't either.
It wouldn't bother me if I never agree with Brad Scott. He was bagging out the sub. Didn't he used to work for the AFL before he took on the Essendon job?
Yeah, he used to bag the AFL before he took that job. Then he didn't. Then he made the rules. And now he's out back coaching. He's out bagging them again. Yeah.
Now he's bagging the sub rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If they scrapped it, I'd probably be happy enough.
So put your coach's hat on then. What are you doing going forward? How are you solving it?
I think I'd probably give Amira a crack on the wing. And, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. You spent high draft capital on Erasmus.
Yeah.
Higher draft capital than you have on Matty Johnson.
Yeah.
Erasmus has hardly – I think he's played one full game this year down at Peel. Otherwise, he's played very limited time in the seniors.
He can't be getting, how can he get his condition going?
I think they can do it.
Can they?
But it's not game. It's not game fitness, is it? And it's not, it's not even fitness he's after. It's match conditioning. It's learning. We're looking for his own disposal to improve, for his composure to improve, these kinds of things. He needs minutes.
He was a bit unlucky, He got pinged for a couple of free kicks that probably weren't free kicks. We're 50.
Oh, I'm not back. It's hard game. Imagine coming into that.
I know. It's going to be incredibly difficult. Yeah.
No, I just mean in a macro sense, this is what we're asking of him.
Yeah.
But, the penny doesn't drop. The game doesn't slow down for some people at the same speed as it does for others.
Yeah.
Like, some guys just need a bit longer.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we just don't really have the minutes and the position you want to give to him. But Neil hasn't really been given a shot yet to make the mistakes and to learn his craft and have the game slow down for him so we can judge him accurately on what he's actually capable of at this point. So
yeah.
Yeah. The other guy is your man, I thought, had an absolute stinker. It was Mickey Walters. What happened to him on the weekend?
It's two in a row, isn't it? Two in a row. He's been a bit off the boil. But it's when he gets into these positions, you start writing him off, and then he fires up.
But it comes off the back of the game, what was it, 3 weeks ago, where he tore it apart?
Yeah, I know. It was a crazy game, that one. That was like, it was just a different Sonny Walters. He just hasn't been able to get into it. And I don't think it's through attitude or not, you know, trying as hard as he ever does.
I didn't say he's not trying. No, at all. No.
But I'm just,
Nothing
worked for him. The ball hasn't bounced, you know, his way, but he just hasn't been able to, to replicate that game. Was it Adelaide? I think he had a ripper. But, I don't know. What do you do? You just continue with him. You've got to continue.
We're pretty light on in that spot anyway, aren't we? You could tell we miss Freddie in a big way.
Oh, hugely, didn't we?
So, you continue on and just hope that, you know, I think a lot of this thing is game situation, but yeah, find a way for him. He's got to involve himself more. I mean, he's a guy that if you get the ball in his hands, he will take a shot, and more often than not, he'll put it through.
That's right. I mean, he tried to pinch that one on the boundary that went out of bounds that Bailey Banfield had to then take it.
But that would have been good if he could have taken that.
Could have taken that. And Bailey Banfield's first one where he kicked it out of bounds on the full, he could have hit Walters up with that one. So, you know, they're overlooking it. And, sometimes it just doesn't work for you, JoJo, you know.
Jai Amos seems to be trying pretty hard, but he's not getting the results and not getting the payoff at the moment.
Yep.
He kicked two goals. He copped an absolute cheap shot that I didn't think get called out anywhere near enough from Zerk Thatcher. I don't understand how that wasn't 50 metres. How they talk about going for the footy. I don't understand how they contextualise all these different hits on a footy field these days. In what world is that a fair hit for Zerk Thatcher to make right into his kidney as well?
Because there was no way he was even, you know, looking at the ball or going for the ball. You could see it. It was just blatant. As it was, Karma got him, he busted his shoulder. But Amos has already had kidney problems.
Yeah. Doesn't need any more.
We don't need any more. That's exactly right.
But I just thought that was rotten. You got beaten. I understand, like, make him earn it and all this kind of crap. But
those days,
because you do it in the play. You don't do it after the play's done.
No, that's right. And then you can just tap, knock someone over just as they kick it in the act of trying to get, and it's 50 metres down the ground.
I know.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But I just think with that as well, that'd be one situation where if you've taken the mark like that, you'd almost be relieved and you say, okay, so there's no contact coming, and then that comes. So you're not even ready for it.
Yes, yep.
I just thought it was completely gutless.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So, but yeah, you're right. He's just not getting the rewards. He's getting knocked about a little bit. Look, if he can bag two a game while he's doing this, while he's going through this, the big reward will come, you know.
And we probably won't see it this week because West Coast won't be a great sample size, even though they do have two good, really good key defenders. Hmm. But what's the difference with Jackson, Tracy and Amos in the forward line compared to Tabner, Amos and Tracy in the forward line? Forward line.
Huge. Enough.
I think there'll be a marked difference.
Yeah. No, I agree. They'll work better together. Too often on the weekend you saw the three of them in the one shot at the one contest.
Yeah,
you
know? It should never happen.
No. So I think you'll see back home, you know, probably a lighter week on the track. You know, I think they'll be red hot for. I'm not even going to say when the game is because I'm getting it wrong every single week.
Can you have a go? Can you please? I think it's becoming funny.
Is it really? It's got. Oh no, it's a derby. It'll be Saturday night. Is it Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay. Yeah. Is it?
Great. Saturday night.
Oh, it's not.
I don't know.
Is it? I don't know. Whenever it is. Weekend.
On the weekend.
On the weekend. Just go to Optus and wait.
No, you're right. Saturday night. Six o'clock.
Yeah.
But so a West Coast home game, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you know, I don't understand why we're still doing this where we have derbies as home games. Why don't they split the allocation 50-50 and then so you have like a proper mixed crowd. We never get it. They get
And there's always two derbies, so it works out the same anyway.
Yeah, so you just give one block their seats, one game, and then another block to the other club the next game. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Imagine they should do that.
Because then there might be fights in the crowd as well. So that could be good.
Fights in the crowd. Mix
them in.
There's enough security guards there to sink a ship. They just can't run anyone down. But imagine it would be a much better atmosphere.
No, it would be.
Just these one team atmospheres that, you know, either boo or whatever. Hmm. It's like get a bit of atmosphere, get some parochialism, get some energy in the crowd. I think it would make for a better spectacle.
That's a good idea. Write that down. Write a letter, Jonah.
I think you've got the re-stumped typewriter at the moment. I haven't.
Have I?
Actually, I think you're the only one that's ever used it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Carrying the load. I've got to tell you, where are you on Twitter?
I'm fine with him, to be honest.
If we're suggesting we've got to get, goals out of Caleb Sarong or, Andy Brasher or Hayden Young. 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Switter had time and space, kicks one out of bounds on the full. Okay. 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. They pull it, run it straight down. Luke Ryan performs that incredible spoil, but unfortunately Rioli kicked that goal. That minute went a long way. That minute and bit went a long way to costing us the game, Jota, along with a number of other points. But Amos kicks the first goal of the last quarter, right? This is how it played out. Okay. If Switter kicks that goal he should have in that third quarter, we're up by probably 22 points instead of 10. It's a huge difference. And you can say whatever you want, but Switter is there he's a forward. He's a small forward. He's there to kick. He's there to score. He's there to hit the scoreboard. He's there to put pressure on. He's there and he does that. I'm not saying he doesn't, but we're not getting enough from him. I'm telling you.
No, you're right. But, there's a bunch of those forwards that we're not getting enough from. Saw it in the first half.
Why does Bailey Banfield cop the heat? Why does,
Bailey Banfield hasn't really copped the heat this year, though, has he?
Copped it this weekend.
He kicked two out in the full. Yeah, he
deserved it, he's been very good this year, but.
Yeah, he has.
Do you know what I mean? I like Switter. I love what he does.
Is he still living off the elite tag?
I think he is.
From
Champion Data, whenever it was. I think he's still living.
Speaking about these like different moments that cost us the game.
Yeah,
I've seen it broken down by a few people. You know, these last couple of minutes, the last two center clearances we lost. Yep. Like, sure, they were really important, and Port came hard at us in the last couple of minutes.
Yep.
They got the better of us and won the game. But I tend to think that. If you're going to put it on that last couple of minutes and say our end of game strategy is not up to scratch, you're kind of oversimplifying it and not looking at it deeper enough, because we should have had a gap on these guys long before that. It should never have even come to that.
That's right. Well, that's what I mean. So, we go into the fourth quarter, 22 points up nearly. If Switter kicks his, Sarong missed one. He should have kicked that goal,
Yeah.
So you're right. It's not. It's there are definitely. I mean, look. Can we talk about Husey? We've got a problem.
I didn't want to because I feel mean. But
no, I feel mean too. But
hopefully, Chappie's back fit, because then we don't have to talk about it anymore.
I know, but he does. He does a fair bit of good stuff that you don't notice, because nothing flash. It just does his job. But then you have a couple of incidents that stand out like the proverbial. You got to wonder what he was thinking, right? He'd just been pinged by Ivan Solder for holding the ball. Now, Ivan's going all right, JJ, but he's not known for his nimbleness, is he? And then a minute later, he just got done by Ivan Solder. A minute later, he tries to get around the most fleet-footed player out on the ground, Connor Rosie. What are you thinking, Uzi? The thought process.
He's not looking as quick as – I don't even know that he was ever that quick, but
yeah.
Yeah, he had some moments. I think the thing with him is the reason why you enjoy – or not enjoy, you can have him in the team or as a reserve defender to come in when someone's injured is because he halves contests.
Yep.
He just does nuts and bolts type stuff.
Head over the ball.
Like he doesn't – doesn't hurt you. Yep. But I think for whatever reason, in the last couple of weeks, they've stood out against high-quality teams.
Yeah.
When he has decided that he's going to play on or he is going to try and do something,
yep,
he unfortunately does hurt you.
It really is. Maybe he's seeing Alex Pierce and, you know, think, I can do that. Yeah, Pierce, he can do it. But you can't use it. Just you know, stay in your lane.
Well, a little bit, don't you? Yeah. I mean, you've got to understand who you are.
Yep.
And it would seem like the positional change up onto the wing didn't work last year, probably for similar reasons.
Yep. Right?
He just doesn't have the awareness, it would seem, for a start, for players around him. He doesn't have the speed.
Speed,
and he can't get rid of the ball quick enough.
No,
so
that's right.
I think you just got to keep it simple.
Another one, Jojo. Another one. My man, Tommy Emmett. Now, I use an analogy here, Jojo. I'm hooked on this TV show. Absolutely hooked on this TV show called Naked and Afraid. I don't know if you know it. They drop a couple of people into the Amazon or the African savannah or something like that. They get a pot or they get a stick and they got to survive for 21 days. Got to find their food, got to boil their water, all this. And they come up with such good stuff. And I'm watching it and I'm so hooked on it. And I'm like, I could do that. I'd love to do that. But then I remember I'm the guy at the barbecue where a fly comes within 3 feet of my food. To hell with this, I'm going inside. So I know my lane. I know my limitations, Jojo. Like, I wouldn't last out there 5 seconds. Tommy Emmett, you can't sprint away from players. You can't move. He's got some tidying up to do, Jojo. I think he thinks he's quicker than what he is at the moment. And you've got to play within yourself. He's a quality player, but he's trying to do more than he can at the moment. And I think if he pulls that bit back in, you know, he's going to be really, really good. But that trying to run away and have a shot on goal, not your go yet, Tommy. It might be, but not at the moment. Got to know your limitations. Got to know what you can handle.
Well, I think before you get too carried away, I think he's played 6 or 7 games in the AFL.
Doesn't matter. Tied it up. He's a jet.
Prior to that, he's played state league footy, which should be a shed load slower than AFL, and especially against top four AFL teams.
Yep.
So I think you've got to give him a bit of a break. Like he's got to get acclimatised to the AFL still. There's no chance he has. I know he had a blistering start last year with his final two games of 2023. Like he showed us what he could do. He's been decent this year.
He's a jet.
But I think, no, he is. Yep. But I just think you're gonna get moments like that with him where he's still learning the speed.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff.
But have that in your mind.
I know, but it's all part of it. You don't just have it in your mind and do it. Otherwise, everyone would come in their first game and just be fine. They're not.
Just in the back of the mind. Have it in the back of the mind. You'd be right.
Yeah, why don't you have it in the back of your mind? Give him a break.
It is in the back of my mind. It's in the forefront of my mind. I see it every week. No, he's great. You know I love him. I love Tommy Emmett. Just would love him to take the first option. Don't try and do too much yourself. Yet. But I love him out there.
I just think it's kind of growing pains. You got to cop it. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sick of copping stuff. I'm not copping anymore.
It's what you get with a young team. I mean, an inexperienced team.
I know.
You're going from playing against, you know, where is he in the SANFL and then in the WAFL for most of last year.
I'm not having a go. I'm not having a go at him.
No, I'm just saying in terms of the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Like the best players at WAFL level aren't getting a game at AFL level in the most part.
Yeah.
And then you're coming up against the best players in the AFL in one of the best teams. The game is hot, so.
That's right.
Anyway, it'll happen.
Back in the
Mikasa Property Boutique Meters Game Competition. How many entrants did we end up with?
Just missed.
What do we have?
I can't remember. I've told my head, I think it was 48, 49. No, it was 35. It was 35.
35. Dude, but fair way off.
It's growing exponentially because we only got like...
Because you had 13 the week before.
Something like that. So it's growing, Jojo. It's growing. It's a good comp. Duncan Wright on Instagram, he got it. He nailed it. So...
Well, I'll tell you what, as a goodwill gesture, I'm going to double your 35 and make it a $70 voucher for the winner this week. How's that?
It's a $50 voucher. Doubling it's 100.
No, double the number of entries, because I was going to double it if you got to 50 to 100.
Yeah. So what do you do?
Oh, sorry. No, that's fine. You don't want my generosity. We'll just wind it back to 50. Sorry, Duncan.
No. All right. You said
50. No, that's fine.
No, for going forward, you said 50, we double it.
Yeah. And I was trying to be generous and reward the bit of growth that you experienced with the 35. And then, you know, you shoot the gift horse or whatever the saying is.
Don't be so condescending. That's condescending. I don't need that sort of work, West Coast welfare.
I just wanted to show you that I was riding behind you, kind of. Have you had any feedback from the Mikasa crew?
They love it.
This is not the kind of mediocrity they're used to.
No, they love it. They love it. Now, you said, like, we can see the growth. We can see it building, like our renovation business, Elevate by Mikasa.
They said it reminds me a lot of the property values in Maylands going back to the 80s. Everyone said that's the place to buy, didn't they?
They did too, didn't they? Yeah. Probably was. Yeah. Go and try and buy in there now. No, it's growing. It's going good. It's coming back this week. Have we got another angle? Have you got another angle we can work? Because we're very restricted in the number of players that can actually win it. So
I thought you were confident in the concept. We went over this last week.
Very confident.
Sounds like it.
Now it'll be good. So this Thursday, it's going to go up again, Jojo. If we get 50 entries, the prize goes to $100. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. It's my generosity, and then you're quite dismissive of the generosity. I'm not sure whether I should extend it again.
Doing that, we love your generosity. Reedy reckons you should put it to 500. If we get 50, the prize is 500. Is that right?
500?
Yeah.
Everyone will be shopping like you, buying all organic.
What's wrong with that?
It's just expensive.
Little shot in there?
No. Yeah.
Beautiful. Good stuff, that stuff. Jody, guess what?
What?
Oh, what do you got? You got any more?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm about to say? Play the jingle.
Play the jingle.
They got the neighborhood. That's a great jingle, Jojo. Great jingle. I think we just do this just to hear that jingle. That's the only reason we do this. Jojo, the Neighbourhood Watch back for another week. Now, it deserved one this week. The West Coast Eagles had that magnificent win. And I'm a little bit disappointed in Freo fans not giving the West Coast the credit they deserve for that win over the Richmond Cubs. It was something pretty special, let's be honest. They've been doing it really tough now for the last few years, and as we all know, and that the hollowness of that momentary, I guess, morale boosting victory, that doesn't need to be said. You know, the only things that fans have had to celebrate of late is their Opta Stadium musical chairs winner certificate and the free whopper they get from Carlisle Hungry Jacks. Let them have their moment, Jojo, in the sun. There's plenty of shade coming their way, but let them have their moment in the sun. I saw comments, and I didn't think they were warranted. You know, so like, sure, Tim Taranto, Jacob Hopper, Dion Prestia, Noah Bolter, Dylan Grimes, Tom Lynch, we're all out. You know, but you can only beat the team of inexperienced kids that are put up against you. You know, Jaden Short going down early in that first quarter, that didn't need mentioning. You don't need to mention that. I think it's very poor form to point out that Richmond had 7 games less experience on average across the board, 85 games to 92, but who's counting? You know, someone told me they had 1,100 games of experience out of that side, Richmond did. I said, give it a rest. Give it a rest. 12 premiership games unavailable or something. You know, but we've got to be better than that, Jojo. It was a great win. The media loved it. Their fans got their much-needed boost of arrogance. You know, they got to stay for 4 quarters. And now they're even further away from understanding how big of a hole they're in. I say, let them yank each other's cranks and enjoy the moment of self-delusion. Let them enjoy their moment. Isn't that fair? Can't we be that? You know, we've got to be that good. We've got to be better, don't we? Oh, I love it. Love it. They're going to get a spanking this week. They are going to get a spanking.
If we kick a goal. No, if we can kick a goal.
We'll set ourselves for this week now. We'll be so filthy on those last 2 weeks.
Bloody hope so.
Yeah. And it's not just – it's 4 points in percentage we're after this week to try and make up for one of the two losses last week. Last 2 weeks.
The 0.5% we lost in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. But the 4 points we didn't get. I really reckon we'll come out, hit hard, and I think we're in for a good week. So
let's hope so.
Something I want to run past you before we wind it up.
Mm.
We're going to be talking about it all year at different stages. The first round picks. Whatever number they are.
Oh, but do we have to talk about it every week?
We didn't talk about it last week.
Really? Feels like we did.
Well, I just started thinking, right? You know, we're talking about we're not going to go to the draft with them. We're going to try and find someone, whoever. I'm starting to back down from that position. Because I'm thinking Tasmania coming in 2028, right? So the 2027 draft is going to be severely compromised, isn't it? And probably the 2028 draft as well. Would that be fair to say?
Well, you don't know yet. I mean, they might have access to 16-year-olds in 28, and that would mean that like future, previous, you don't know. But that for me, I don't reckon that's a major issue for
us. You don't reckon?
Well, the issue for us is Erasmus and Johnson. What's the point in having? What are you going to do? Recruit them some friends and start a second team?
No, but. We won't be getting any probably sounding overconfident here, but we won't be getting any high picks over the next however many years. Do you mitigate the circumstances of what the potential Tasmania team coming in, what it's going to do to the draft, and just load up on young kids that'll be ready in 3-4 years' time, who knows? I know it's a problem, then you've got to give them opportunity and you've got to do this, that, whatever. I was just thinking about it. I might be completely off track and that might not happen to the drafts. But if that is going to be the case, is that something we need to think about?
I wouldn't be.
You know, Regan?
No, I'm still in the boat that you go back to your draft boards from the last 2-3 years, look at the guys that you were high on that you missed on or you didn't have a pick high enough to get.
Mm.
See how they're tracking at their current clubs, what's their physical progression like, what's their form in either the twos or the ones been like, and have a crack at them, you know, like in a position of need. And, a guy like Logan McDonald, if they fancy him, is a guy that stands out, obviously.
Hmm.
Even a guy from, a couple of years ago, Ed Allen, who could play on a wing, someone like that.
Yeah.
I just think spend it on someone that's going to be fit your age profile of your club now.
Yeah.
And someone's going to help us win a premiership now.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I am all about sustained success and all the rest of it, but I just don't see, you know, there's every chance at the moment that the pick on Erasmus, if we can't find a role for him and pretty fast and give him some opportunity.
Someone's going
to... his agent will be on the phone. You'll lose him for a second round pick at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And then what's the point? Then you've gone, okay, oh, we've invested for the future. Yeah, but he just walked out and we turned our pick 11 into a pick 27.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back to the draft again.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I know it's a...
It's a roll of the dice. Like, you're never going to get it 100%, right?
No, that's right.
But I just think for us, you look across the board, our team, and the age profile across every position, every line, like, there's not too many opportunities for a young guy to come in and stake a claim for a spot.
No, there's not. There's not. But I mean,
so I think if you've got to be very careful, like you spend your draft, if we've got all these picks coming in, you're looking to improve your first 18 at this point, I think.
Yeah, it's probably fair. Yeah. I just don't want to get...
And I think the forward line and the wing and that one wing spot is the spot that probably stands out.
Yeah. We need a... Yeah. Yeah, true. What about... where's Shea Bolton at?
Well, there's a few, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, Richmond look a fair way off.
I do, don't I?
The other one, I reckon, is the Bulldogs. And this would sound ridiculous, but, I mean, if they don't fire Beveridge and he continues on with this crap he's been doing the last few years, he's like, I don't know Marcus Bontempelli personally, but surely at some point he'd be like, what am I doing
here? What am I doing here? How am I going to win a flag here? Yeah.
So
you have test the water.
Maybe not even specifically him, but I'm just saying a player like that whose club has been grossly mismanaged, they've made horrendous personnel decisions and just put themselves in a spot. And now, like a player like Bont, like they're not winning a flag anytime soon with what they've done. Like,
imagine him in our forward line right now.
But I just mean, what a dog's breakfast that place is. Yeah. So if you could make an attractive enough offer to him for his agent to shake him loose from the Bulldogs, and then you've got enough draft capital to appease that, I mean, that's the kind of thing you should be looking to do. We should be going for a big fish.
At this particular time. Yeah. And sky's the limit. Don't settle.
Well, what's the point? 3 first round picks, a lot.
It's huge.
And look where Collingwood are. I mean, you wouldn't be confident they're going to climb like into the top 8 automatically.
No.
Even if they do, it's going to be bottom end of the 8. So it's still going to be a pick, 10 to 14, something like that.
They are not traveling.
It's decent. It's decent.
Yeah.
Just on the Bulldogs, though.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are they doing?
What has happened there? Well, they've just given Norton a $10, $11 million deal, and he's not getting near it now. And the emergency.
They'll have to sign Hugo Hagen on a similar deal.
Yeah.
They got Bailey Dale and the little midget that knocked over Sean Darcy in the reserves.
Caleb Daniel, yep.
Jackson McRae is getting limited minutes.
Yeah.
They've got the early draftee who spat the dummy after he was subbed off at halftime. Yep. It's like, it's just like he's going to try and piss off everyone in the club.
It's weird, isn't it? But then the emergence of Sam Darcy, he's going to be jet, that kid. So,
Him and Hugo Hay are going to be dominating up forward, and no one else will be in the team to kick it to him.
Where's Norton going to go? He's got to go down back. You're paying $11 million for for a backman. So,
well, where's the other one? Bailey Smith's not going to be on his way out. Bailey Smith's going, It's a weird club. And then they've gone and took Rory Lobb off us, and there's nowhere for him to play.
Hell are they?
That's got to be one of the weirdest recruitments of all time.
It still is, isn't it? It still is.
Like for your average Nuffy to say, what the hell are they doing? Have they ever watched this guy play before?
Yeah.
And then for him to be dropped in his first season and then no avenue really to be getting a game in the seniors in his second season at the new club. How do these people have a job in football, this management? It's so weird.
It didn't even matter how well Rory Lobb was playing or wasn't playing.
No.
You know, Sam Darcy.
But, I mean, that's just an added layer on it.
Yeah.
He kicked five in the twos last week. He played all right, but... Why do you need him? Why do you want him?
On what, half a million a year for whatever it is?
Even on $20 a year, he takes up a little spot. What's the difference?
Strange, isn't it? They have really gone weird, haven't they? And that's saying something. You're saying Beveridge has gone weird. Yeah, because he's already weird.
I reckon people will blame him because he's the face fronting the club.
Yep.
But there's obviously a massive disconnect with whoever's selecting players and trading players and the bloke that's coaching him.
Yeah.
Because he sees him as being in one particular spot and being able to challenge or not challenge. And the person who's recruiting players in obviously sees him elsewhere.
Yeah.
But who knows? It's just a weird team.
Very, very strong.
It always has been, to be fair, though, even before Rory got there. They were always all over the place.
Yeah, how they won that flag in 2016 is unbelievable, isn't it? Kids, 82, it was 80-odd games experience, and they went all the way from, six or seven or eighth or somewhere. So amazing.
Gave their coach a 10-year career.
Yeah, that's right. Did you see, and then he said the other night, oh, no, it wasn't concussion, liver. He was just like falling over, like collapsed after a hit. No, definitely not. What is that?
It was a heart palpitation, or what's it called? What's the COVID thing?
Oh yeah, the
pericarditis.
Myocarditis.
It was myocarditis. It wasn't concussion.
Yeah, you only had the jab or something, and it knocked him out.
Yeah,
it wasn't. That way, he can play next week if it was a concussion.
We've come full circle. All right, that'll do. We've gone too long.
Get out of here, Jared.
So, what have we got? Saturday night, Derby.
Put your Mikasa Property Boutique home on it. At the $1.13. Do it.
$1.13. I think I'll pass.
It's good value.
Yeah. Huh? Good. Mate, with the amount of value I can get from this house from Mikasa, there's no way I'm giving it away. Until then, we'll do the preview on Thursday, hopefully, as long as I continue to turn corners. Until then, I've been good. I've been good the last three. Got to give credit where it's due.
Average.
Excuse me. You asked me if I was going to record this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I had swimming lessons kicking off.
What about? But don't you know how to swim yet? Huh? Jeez. Friday
swimming
night.
Lessons. What Friday night?
We were supposed to record Thursday night, and you're like, nah, can't do it. Just can't do it.
Oh, do you know why?
Why?
Because I had bloody what's it called? Hand, foot, and mouth. Hand, foot, and mouth.
Mate, where are you going?
It's only just cleaned up.
Where have you been getting around?
Sonny gave it to me.
Sonny gave it to you. Good excuse. Where have you been getting around?
Well, I don't even know. He went. I don't know where he went. Kids, they're filthy. Yeah. But it's one of the worst things I ever had, I think.
Really?
He gave me strep and staph last year.
Oh, I did too, that's right. Yeah.
That wasn't good. But then this one, like, as an adult, yeah. I don't think you meant to get it, but I don't have any more, but I had rashes on the palms of my hand and the soles of my feet and sores inside my mouth.
Yeah, I'm sure all the listeners needed to know that.
Beautiful. No, but it's like, can you get a more annoying set of symptoms?
No, probably not. Still should have recorded.
I was asleep.
Excuses.
We're having a rough trot. Things are going to come good.
I will.
I can feel it. We're turning a corner. We're going to turn another
corner.
We'll record on Thursday. We can almost see the straight from here. Yeah. Until then, are you still down with the restart?
Look, I am, but a frog in the well doesn't know about the sea.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.